Thessalonians chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at the tabernacle and the Christian. Okay, and how those two kind of correlate with each other, all right? The tabernacle and the Christian. We've been studying that in teen class. We just finished it up, and there were some things I saw in there that I wanted to preach a message on at some point. There's a lot of different correlations you can see with the tabernacle. Predominantly what we did is we went through and saw how it related to Jesus Christ. And there is so much in there and how it relates to Jesus Christ. All right. When you read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, I know sometimes you get going through there and you're, you know, the knops and its snuffers and the gold and the overlay and the wood. Sometimes you can get that monotony of just, oh, okay, this and that and this. But if you actually do some studying of it, you find out there's some very interesting things in there. All right, and there's plenty of books out there of men much wiser than us, much more brilliant than us, that God gave them some things, all right? But you know what? I believe God can give you some stuff.
Amen.
If you're in it.
Right.
If you're regularly looking and asking him, hey, Lord, can you give me something from your word? He'll give you some things.
Oh, yeah.
All on your own, all right? But it's interesting that just the different things about the tabernacle, all right? But we're going to look at it, how it relates to a Christian, okay? So with the tabernacle, there's three places in a tabernacle. I'm not going to put Dalen on the spot this morning and ask him what those three places are. Although I think he would be able to get it. I believe he would. We covered it quite extensively, all right? But there's the outer court, okay? So if you think of the tabernacle, all right, there was a gate all the way around it, okay? And there was one entrance in, and so they within that gated area, the fence, is the outer court. And in that outer court, it had the altar and the laver. Okay, so the first thing you'd come to when you came in was the altar. And then the next thing is the inner room. And that is where the actual tabernacle structure was. Okay, so when you walked into there, you had the inner room, which also known as the holy place. It had the table of showbread, the candlestick with the oil, and the altar of incense. All right, and then the next place you'd come into is the innermost room, also known as the Holy of Holies. It had the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. You're probably thinking, how in the world does that relate to me, Pastor? Well, you as a Christian, guess what? You're not just one. You're three. God made us like him, all right? And so you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our spirit, our soul, and our body, all three are to be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. The law was not to be a permanent thing. All right? Those sacrifices, they were a picture of something. And so eventually it would be done away with. And we're going to look at those things here this morning. Let's go to God in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would meet with us this morning. Give me, God, wisdom and the right words to say as I bring this message. You know what's been on my heart and mind with all of this, and just help me to be able to present it in a way that is understandable to the folks here. Help them to get something from your word so they can be a better Christian for you, Lord. We just ask you to bless this time in service this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first place we come to in both areas, in the tabernacle and as a Christian, is the place of sacrifice. The place of sacrifice. And that is the very first thing that must happen, is that place of sacrifice. Now, and how it relates to the tabernacle, it was the outer court. All right, it was the place of sacrifice. And when the children of Israel first walked through that gate, the very first thing they would come to is that altar. That altar was there for sacrifice. They had to give something for that sacrifice. And that meant it cost that individual something. It wasn't free. They weren't to bring something that didn't cost them anything. Okay? When they brought their sacrifice to the tabernacle, it cost them something. And they were to bring that sacrifice every year. And there was different things and different sacrifices they were supposed to bring. Okay, so we have the altar and the laver. That was the altar was the first thing they came to, and then the next thing they came to was that laver. All right, it was a wash basin, and it was something that the priest would use, and the priest would continually go to that to cleanse themselves. All right, often they would go to that regularly to cleanse themselves so that they would keep clean. And so here we have, this is the place of sacrifice. Someone had to pay a price. Sacrifice isn't free. Somebody has to pay something.
Amen.
You say, how does it relate to me? How does it relate to a Christian? Well, it relates to a Christian in our body is the place of which sacrifices render. First of all, you say, how does it relate to me in my body? Well, I think of Jesus Christ. I think of Jesus Christ. Before a Christian, before you can become a Christian, you have to come to that place of sacrifice. You can't come to God until you first come to that place of sacrifice. Children of Israel, when they came into that tabernacle, they'd have no relationship with God until they first came to that altar.
Amen.
I, as a Christian, I cannot come to God. An individual cannot come to God without first coming to that place of sacrifice.
Amen.
Go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself oft, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sin, for Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Jesus Christ was our sacrifice.
Amen.
And he's the one sacrifice. He didn't have to go several times to the cross. He didn't have to go yearly to the cross. Once.
Amen.
Once and done. And you know what? We as a Christian, as an individual, you have to come to that sacrifice and realize that sacrifice is for me.
Amen.
See, as an individual, it didn't cost me anything. But as we said, a sacrifice costs something.
Right.
Somebody has to pay for it. And in this situation, Jesus Christ, he paid for that sacrifice. He gave of himself. So how does this have to relate to the body? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 24. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." See, he had to sacrifice his body on that tree and had to die for us so that we could live. And you know what? That's the first place every person has to come to, as they have to come to that place of sacrifice and realize Jesus sacrificed for me so I can live. The rest of the message we're going to talk about, if you've not done that, where you've gone, that sacrifice is for me, I'm going to put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for forgiveness of my sin, if you've not done that, the rest of this message doesn't matter. I don't care if you do the rest of this message. Until you've done this, it's for naught. And honestly, you can't do the rest of the message until you've done this.
Amen.
Unless you've said, I know I'm saved, because back for me at 9 years old, March 21st, 1993, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ at an invitation and asked him to forgive me of my sin. I put my faith and trust in what he did on the cross for me. But until every person as an individual does that, the rest of this is for naught. The rest of this is for naught. Because you know what? He paid that price for the whole world. It says he paid for the whole world. But until you come to that yourself, the rest is pointless. You need to accept that sacrifice that he made for your own sin. Once you do that, then your Christian life starts. So now what? You've accepted that payment for your sin. Does that mean, hey, we can do whatever we want now? Because, hey, I'm going to heaven now, so what does it matter? There's a little more to it. A little more to it. Guess what? As a Christian now, we do have to sacrifice. God expects something from us as a Christian. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12. You know, I think about it. Jesus sacrificed all for us. Why can't we be willing to sacrifice a little for him? I mean, if you really think about all of what he did for you, are you willing to sacrifice a little bit in return? Romans 12, verse 1, Paul's writing here says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Our body is a place of sacrifice as well. We're to give to God our body as a living sacrifice. And I think those two words are very, very important. Living. As Brother Marion just said, dead's not useful. Living is useful to God. He can do something with it. But if you're dead, what's he going to do with you? I'll go a little bit further. Young, not old. I've heard statements like this. I'll serve God when I'm old. Really? You're going to wait until your body is useless, decrepit, aches and pains. Here, God, you can have my leftovers. I've had my fun out of my body. What good's your body once it's old? It's hurting. It's broken down. You say, I got saved when I was older, Pastor. Okay. Right now is the time to serve, right?
Amen.
You're young as a Christian.
That's right.
And God will use you. He'll use you in any capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You say, Pastor, I got saved when I was young, but now I'm old and I have not been serving God. Okay, start now.
Amen.
Don't continue to put it off. Don't continue to say, I'll do it when I retire. It's too late. It's too late. I've heard of people that I'll serve God when I retire, and then they go to retire, and now they got aches and pains, and it's hard. They can't do it.
Right.
Oh, I can't go door knocking now. It's too late. You've got to sacrifice yourself. God wants a living sacrifice.
Amen.
He doesn't want a dead one. Dead one's not worthless to him. And the Bible says we're to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Let him use it. Say, here, God, what do you want me to do with my body today? How can this body please you? Think about it. It's a ball of dirt.
Yes,
as he made us from the dust of the ground, and it's amazing that he can take this animated dirt and say, all right, I'm going to get glory out of that.
That's right.
But he wants to. But are you willing to let him do it? See, I learned about things from God. My wife and I were talking about it this morning. God doesn't make man do anything.
No,
he allows us to. But he doesn't make you do it. So he's not going to, hey, you asked him for salvation, boom, he gave it to you. But he's not going to come down and say, Christian, I'm going to make you serve me. Now, he may greatly encourage you. He might do some things to strong, you know, kind of force you, come on. But he's not going to exactly force you. You have to give it up. And that means we've got to sacrifice. give ourselves to him and say, okay, God, you can use my body. It's a living sacrifice. It's still usable. I'll let you use it. The place of sacrifice. The other thing is that laver. There's two things there. There was the place of sacrifice. There's that laver. I said the priests would go, they'd wash daily at that laver, okay? Hey, they were the dust of the world, the earth, it was getting on them. They need to get clean. And then they go make that sacrifice. They come back, they'd get clean before they went into the tabernacle. And they used it regularly. I imagine they needed a good source of water to be able to keep it filled. Well, just like they did, they had to go there regularly to keep clean. We got to get the filth of this world off us, right?
Come on, man. Yes, sir.
How do we do that? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 26. He's talking about the church here. Okay? And he says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You know how you get clean? By the washing of the water of the word. Well, how do you do that? You got to sacrifice your time. Hey, we all got things we got to do, right? Time is precious. Time is probably one of the most precious things out there in this world. Money is not as precious as time because money can be earned. Money can be grown. You can get more money. Even money itself, if you invest it right, will make you more money, and you didn't do anything. But time is that one thing. Once it's spent, you can never get it back.
Amen.
It's gone. You know what? We've got to sacrifice some time to get in there and make sure, hey, I need to make sure I'm clean. I've got to take time to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that I'm clean from the filth of this world. We're out there getting exposed to stuff regularly. And sometimes, man, it's hard. It's frustrating. But you know what? Get in and get refreshed. And I remember when I worked construction, there were some days you come back and you're just like, oh my goodness. I mean, just dust. You're just covered in dirt. The most refreshing thing to do when I got home was not to go sit on my couch and just, oh, okay, I'm gonna, no. It was right to the shower,
amen,
turn that water on, and just get clean.
Amen.
It felt good.
Amen.
Well, you know, sometimes we need to get out of the filth of this world and just get clean. Get in that Bible of ours, and you know what? It means we got to deny our flesh. You ever have your flesh fight you about getting in your Bible? That body doesn't, the flesh doesn't like spiritual things. It's going to fight you. So you got to deny that flesh and sacrifice and say, no, you're going to take some time and we're going to get some things, make sure we're staying clean.
Amen.
It's sacrifice. You got to do it. Need to do it to keep clean. What's the next place? Next place is a place of worship. Place of worship. The inner room, the holy place. Well, it consisted of a couple of things. We've got the table of showbread. Well, the table of showbread, it wasn't very big, and there was no chairs to sit at. You stood there to eat, but there was bread there. All right? And that was a place for the priests to come together, and they could eat. This holy place, this inner room, there would be more than one priest in there at a time. There could be more than one priest in there at a time. All right? So they would gather together around this table, and they would enjoy the bread that was there. They would fellowship with one another. It's a good time. Good time enjoying the bread, enjoying the fellowship, serving God there. And then you've got the candlestick with the oil. It was a source of light in that room, so they could see what they were doing. We also have the golden incense altar. All right, that was continually going. The priest had to make sure it was stocked, that it was constantly happening. And look, that's a symbol of prayer and intercession. A symbol of prayer and intercession. And as I said, there more than one priest could be in there at a time. Folks, that's our soul. That's our soul. The soul, it's the seat of worship, the seat of our affections, the seat of our emotions, it's our fellowship. It's the real you. When I look out here, I don't see the real you. I see the body you're in, right? But I don't get to see the real you. Now, I get a glimpse of it at times with how you talk to me and how you react to things, and I get a glimpse of the real you, but your soul, that's the real you. Our soul is a place of worship. Mary said in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." That's how she gave praise to God. That's how she worshiped the Lord. Well, you know what? Folks, we have a place just like that table of showbread. You know what that place is? It's the church of God. We all come together, right? We come together as one, as several individual people. That table of showbread, you could have more than one priest there at a time partaking in of it. We all come together, and what do? We enjoy the preaching of the Word of God. This is our bread, right? And you know what? It's already been prepared for you. When those priests came to that table of showbread, they didn't have, it wasn't just, all right, here's flour, and here's water, and here's salt. All right, you need to make it first, and then put it in the oven. No. When they came to that table of showbread, it was already prepared. It was ready to go. They just got to enjoy it. When you come to church, do you get the message ready? Do you come to church and pastor goes, all right, you're going to do this part, and you're... No, you come, you're ready. You're waiting to enjoy it. It's already been prepared. And it's given to you. And we do this, we come together, and as a church, well, we get to worship God. We get to worship Him in song, we get to worship Him in the preaching, and enjoy the preaching. God works in us, in our hearts, in the preaching, we get to enjoy it. We get to enjoy the fellowship one with another. You ever talk about a message afterwards? It's kind of like, man, that was a good meal. Ooh. Yeah, that was real good. You know, have you ever finished a meal and you keep talking about it afterwards? And then you tell, especially if you go out to a restaurant, you tell someone, man, you got to go to this place. It was really good. Amen. You ever do that after preaching? Man, you got to come to my church. It's some good preaching. You got this Pastor Mosley. Man, great preacher. You got to hear him. Amen. We should. We get to feast upon the Word of God that's been prepared for us. We get to fellowship one with another. We get to worship God. We do that with our soul. Giving praise to God, worshiping Him. What else? Well, our soul's also like the candlestick. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That candlestick is what gave light into that holy place. You know what? We're a light. God told us we're a light. If before you were saved, you were not a light. You were dark. There was no light within you. You did not have a light. Your soul was dead. But then when you got saved, and God went in, and in an instant, He cut your soul away from your body, and you got a light within you, and now all of a sudden, you can go out in that dark world and be a light. We can be a light. You know what? When we come in here, man, hopefully your light gets a little bit brighter. Gets a little bit brighter. So that when we go back out, man, we can be that bright light out in the world. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Jesus said this. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That light's your testimony, folks. What's your testimony like? Do you have a bright testimony? Or is it kind of dull? We all got one when we got saved. Do we let it shine before men, or do we take a bushel and try to hide it? I kind of like that our church is set on a hill. Because when I see this verse, I think of our church. A city that is set on a hill. Man, my church is kind of set on a hill. I tell folks, I go, yeah, when you get just about to the top of the hill, where our church is at. Because if you notice, you come up here, just before you get to that light, you kind of start to go down again.
Right.
We're just at the top of the hill.
Amen.
Yeah, go past the Brahms, yep. And then there's our church, just at the top of the hill.
Right.
Can't miss it. Well, we're to be that light. We got it. Jesus gave it to us. We're that light. It's fueled by the Holy Spirit, right? We get the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. He's with us at all times. We're to be that light out there in this dark world. And you say, well, what about that golden incense altar? Well, that's a symbol of prayer, folks. When we pray, man, we should be coming together to pray. First of all, I think we should come together to pray. Now, we do that when we start our services, but we got other times of prayer. Other times of prayer. And this is, and I bring this up because this is done in that inner room, that place of worship where there's more than one priest there at a time. Meaning they're doing this together. Why don't we get together and pray more often? Why don't we get together and pray?
Amen.
We should. Bring things before God. Seek Him. As I said, that incense, it was always happening. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing.
Right.
Almost like there's a constant conversation going on between you and God. But we should have those times together where we seek God's face. We ask God for His help. Because we can't do it by ourselves. We can't. We need those times of prayer. Then our third place, it's the place of spiritual fellowship with God. Within this inner room, the Holy of Holies, it consisted of the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And that we need that mercy seat. Without that mercy seat, the law prevails. Okay? The priest would come in, they would take the blood of the sacrifice yearly, and they would sprinkle it on that mercy seat to cover. That mercy seat sat above the Ark of the Covenant, and within that Ark of the Covenant was the law.
Right.
And that blood would cover it. Take care of the sin of the people, remission of sin. But, well, you know what's unique about this place? Only one priest was allowed in there at a time. Never two. Only one. Only one person. You know why? It was a place of fellowship. It was them and God.
Amen.
That priest, when it was time to give that, to do that, put the blood on and to do this and to have that sweet fellowship with God, that priest, one priest was chosen. And he prepared himself. He cleansed himself. He made sure. And once he was clean, nobody touched him.
That's right.
Because he's about to go into the Holy of Holies. He's about to come into the presence of God.
Amen.
On the fringe of the garments of the priest, they had little bells that would ding when they moved. And I've heard that they would tie a rope around the priest's ankle, and they would listen, because if they quit hearing the dinging of the bell, he was dead. And no priest wanted to go in after him, because that means God's wrath was in there right at that moment. And you didn't want to go in there, and not supposed to have two priests in that room at a time, only one. And so, man, they would drag him out if that was the case. I've never heard of a situation where it happened. But only one at a time, and it was that one priest would go in and he'd have fellowship. Folks, that's our spirit. Our spirit is the place of fellowship with God. And you know what? It's just you and God. Not you and another Christian and God. Not you and your wife and God. Just you and God. That's it. Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He's talking to someone, the woman of Samaria, and he's saying, hey, there's going to come a time they don't need to go to Jerusalem to worship. They'll be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When our spirit fellowships with God, no one else is involved. It's just you and God having sweet fellowship having sweet communion. But you know what? If you've not done the rest, these other things, that fellowship's not going to be real sweet. That communion's not going to be very good. See, our soul gets refreshed when we come together in church. You ever leave a church service, you go, man, I'm refreshed. That felt good. That's your soul. Your soul's getting refreshment. And you need this. You need this. Why do you think we have a Wednesday night service? Bible says to do so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, hey, if it was approaching 2,000 years ago, it's definitely approaching today. Well, why not come together more often and encourage each other? When I had a worldly job working construction, I enjoyed coming together on Wednesday night. I enjoyed the fellowship with other Christians because, man, it was refreshing. I'd just been hearing the filth of the world for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The cursing and the cussing and the profanity and everything else that goes along with it. And when I came in on Wednesday to not have to wonder, my soul wasn't grieved when I heard someone talk here in church because I didn't have to worry. And it's refreshing and we're encouraged and it's just good. And then you come in on Sunday and you're like, man, I'm going to start out the week right. And you really get refreshed. You come for both services and you just, man, this is really good. And it prepares you for the rest of the week because you know it's going to get hard. And that's good. Don't get me wrong. We need this. If you don't normally come on Sunday night, come Sunday night. You need it. You say, I don't need it. Yeah, you do. Just like you need your physical health, you need your spiritual health. Your soul needs it. You're grieving your soul when you don't have this. But more importantly, your spirit needs time alone with God. That's that. I'm going to carve out a time, just like we talked about earlier, okay? We need that water to cleanse us. When we need to get that sacrifice, some time from our body. You know what? When you get in the Bible, that's not a sacrifice to your spirit. Your flesh fights that. Your flesh doesn't want spiritual things. But when you sacrifice your flesh and say, no, you're going to take some time and you're going to get in the Bible. You're going to take some time and you're going to pray. It's not a sacrifice for your spirit. Your spirit enjoys it. Your spirit enjoys the Word of God. You ever have that happen? I've had it happen. My flesh doesn't. It rears its ugly head, okay? There have been times I'm like, okay, I've got to get in my Bible today. I've got to read it today. And I tell my flesh, no, you're going to take some time. And I start reading, and my spirit enjoys it.
Amen.
You know what's going on? You're having sweet fellowship with you and your God. You can't do that with the body. Yes, we do it collectively with our soul, but our spirit, fellowship with God. Just you and God. When God can talk to you. When God can show you some things that are just for you. The preaching of the word, that's for all of us. And I hope you get something out of it. But you know what? God goes, I've got something just for you that I want to give you, just you and me, sweet fellowship. That's what God made us for. Why did he make Adam? Because he wanted to have fellowship with them. Why did he make you? He wants to have fellowship with you. Do you take time to do it? Do you find time to go, okay, God, each day, I'm going to have fellowship with you. I'm going to get my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to praise you. That sweet time of fellowship. It's personal. It's one-on-one. It's just you and God. No one else. As best as you can, try to find a quiet place to do it. I know sometimes that can be difficult. I know that can be difficult, having a three-year-old who wants your attention. Okay? But you know what? You can teach them, hey, I'm reading my Bible, or hey, I'm praying, or even better yet, let's have your quiet time. I started something with him because, hey, I don't have to go to school in the morning now, and I got time when he wakes up, so I got a little extra time. It's a benefit I have this summer. We're going to take some quiet time. We're going to have some little devotion time of your own. Daddy's going to read to you. It's good for them to see that they need it. But you know, it's good for them to see that, hey, Dad needs it. Mom needs it. I need my time. You just be quiet and get alone with God and get in your Bible. Get refreshed. Have that spiritual time with God. Your spirit needs it. Just like your flesh needs sacrifice. Just like your soul needs to be here in church and get encouraged and be able to worship God. Our spirit needs that time too. Don't deny it. Don't deny its time with its God to get that refreshment from Him and have that sweet fellowship with God. And also, don't deny God that opportunity. God wants to have fellowship with us. Why don't we give it to Him? Good time in Bible reading, good time in prayer. Hey, folks, are you doing these things? I know there was a lot in this message of different things. Are you doing them? If you're not saved, well, that's the first place you got to start.
Amen.
You need to get saved. You need to come and accept Jesus' sacrifice for your sin. Otherwise, the rest of it's for naught. You can't have any of it. Your spirit will never have fellowship with God. Your soul will never be a part of a church. All right, you'll not be able to worship God properly. It'll be for naught until you're saved.
Amen.
And I look around. I think most everyone here is saved. I don't know this for sure. There might be someone not saved here today. Get saved. Today is the day of salvation. But after that, Christian, what are you doing? Are you giving your body a living sacrifice to God? Does He get to do with you as He sees fit? You know, I really believe that every Christian needs to come to a point and go, okay, God, what do you have me to do? I've always heard, hey, find out if God wants you to serve Him full time. Okay, I believe that. But if God doesn't say, yes, I want you to serve Him full time, then what does He want you to do?
Come on. Yep.
Because He's got something for you. He's got a plan for every person's life. And I believe He's got certain jobs for us. And He may put you in a job that, all right, I want you to work here for right now. This is what I want you to do. Find out what it is. What does God want me to do? You say, I just work at Amazon. Okay. Maybe that's where God wants you. Hey, He needs a light in Amazon, right? There's lost people there. How are they going to hear about Jesus Christ and the gospel unless there's a light? Say, God called me to Bucky's. Okay, go to Bucky's and work. Enjoy it. Be a light there. You say, God called me to be a mechanic or God called me to be a truck driver. God, whatever it is, make sure that's what God wants me to do and go do it. I tell the young people, I say, hey, find out what God wants you to do. And I've been telling them, I said, look, it's not just, do you want me to serve you, Lord, in full-time ministry? No, it's, what do you want me to do? You know how much easier a teenager would have if they would find out, okay, God, what do you want me to do with my college education? Do you even want me to go to college?
Amen.
These kids go to college, they don't know what they want to do with their life, and they're there for 4 or 5 years studying something that, I don't know if I want to do this. Why don't you ask God?
Amen.
Find out. Maybe He doesn't want you to do that. Maybe it's something else He wants you to do. I find that if I'm in God's will, I normally enjoy what God has for me.
Right.
So find out what He wants you to do, and you might actually enjoy that job. Does your soul get the fellowship it needs? I know I'm talking to the Sunday morning crowd, and you say, I'm here, Pastor. But there's a lot of faces I don't see on Sunday night. There's a lot of faces I don't see on Wednesday night. That means your soul's not getting the fellowship it needs. It's not getting the chance to worship God like it should. You need this. You need to be here. You say, I take care of my body. Well, that's fine. But God doesn't care just about your body. You are not just the body.
Amen.
That is your shell. Yes, you should take care of it. Feed it, bathe it, clothe it, do what you need. We've got to take care of our body, but we're not just a body. And too often we focus on just the body because it's what we can see. But God wants more. He wants you to take care of your soul. How are you doing with it? Does it get the fellowship it needs? Does it get the opportunity to worship God? Or are you denying it that? That's not a place of sacrifice that should be going on. How about your spirit? You get that personal fellowship with God? That shouldn't be a place of sacrifice. Your body should be. Your body should be denied, but not your spirit. It should have good fellowship with God. Do you get it? Are you getting that fellowship with God? Is your relationship with Him what it should be? Or is it strained? Let's stand, bow our heads. Musicians will come. We'll have a time of invitation here in a minute. How's your Christian walk? How are you doing? I can't answer that for you, only you can. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you need to come and talk with God, you'll have an opportunity to do that. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God and the examples that are in there. Lord, help us to take this message. Help even me to be mindful of this message that our body needs to be sacrificed. There's some things we need to deny it. But our soul, it needs that worship. We need to come together with as a church. We need to be a light in this world, and our spirit needs that fellowship with you. That time in prayer, talking to you and spending time with you, and that getting in your Bible and reading it. Help us, Lord, as a church, as individuals, to do those things so we can be a better son and daughter for you. Be a better Christian, be a better example out in this world. And I believe if we would do those things, we'd make a difference in this community. People would wonder what's going on at First Baptist. Why are they so different? And we might be able to reach some more lost souls and win them and help them escape hell and make it to heaven. Lord, have your will and way in this invitation this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, turn to page number 17. Have thine own way, Lord. We're going to have a verse of invitation. If God spoken to you, you need to talk to Him. Come on down. The altar's open. It's available as we sing.